still on the trigger, also watched carefully.
Bastard that big could still come at us.
Why'd you sit down there, Finn?
Highest a man that was. Tail gunner off Warwag 3. Name was Dean Stanton. Little runny guy with a lot of balls. Once seen him throw himself clear off a high bridge into a couple feet of water. Near Missoula. We dragged him out, and I asked him why he'd done it.
And?
He said it seemed like a good idea at the time.
The laughter was contagious, easing away the tension of the fat man's near escape.
Crazy bastard. Thanks for the assist, Ryan.
Sure.
The alligator was nearly still now, no more than a twitching corpse. Around it, the water was stained a deep brown red, and small fish began to appear by the hundreds near the carcass. As Ryan and the others looked on, fascinated, the dead alligator, better than 50 feet in length, began to jerk and roll, its white belly up, the fish tearing at it. Within less than 5 minutes, the corpse had been stripped to raw bones and shreds of tattered sinew.
Whoa! Those are mean bastard fishes. I heard of them. Called pianners.
Piranhas. And you're right, Hen. They are mean bastards.
It was a relief to finally set foot on dry land at the end of the walkway. There was a small stone building with a roof of woven reeds standing among a grove of oaks. Its windows were unbroken, and although the stucco on the walls had peeled, most of it remained undisturbed by the elements. It was an odd sight in a world where the great bombings of 2001 had reduced virtually every building to rubble. Ryan could almost count on the fingers of one hand the number of times he'd seen pre-nuke architecture intact like this.
Figure the lowland protected this place?
Has to be.
No.
What's that, Doc?
Not the lie of the land, my dear Mr. Corder. Have you not heard of a little toy called the neutron bomb?
Neutron bomb? What the fire blast was that?
I think I heard of it. Took out men and left the houses, that it?
A simplistic summary of the effects, but accurate enough for our purposes. Mayhap the new missiles, your trader friend at the Gaudy House referred to.
The door of the little building was open. The weather had apparently cleared out, whatever it might have held. With the aid of Ryan's long machete, they hacked through a screen of tumbled vegetation about 40 feet thick, which screened off the walkway and ultimately kept the location of the redoubt and its gateway a secure secret. On the far side was a crumbling road winding southward. Standing on the cracked pavement, they heard no sign of life, just the occasional crying of a distant bird and the endless clicking and chirping of insects.
Look, there's more water across the road.
It was a slow-flowing, muddy brown river, wide as the eye could see, moving toward the east. It washed out the remains of the highway. Finnegan, still visibly shocked by the near miss from the mutie alligator, dipped his hand cautiously in the water to wipe off some of the blood. He touched a finger to his mouth.
Fresh, not salty like the other.
How come this has risen, but the swamps back there look like they're about the same height they were before the war?
All rivers bigger. No people drink them.
That's the funniest fucking thing I ever heard. Rivers rise because no people...
Mark not, my friend. Consider that we are close to the delta of the old Mississippi River. I would surmise that even now, a century later, barely 1/50th of the people live and work in its basin. No factories to drain it, no restrooms flushing away millions of gallons, no drinking, as Laurie said, no commercial uses at all. No wonder the levels of the streams and rivers have risen.
You figure we're stranded here?
It is conceivable. Perchance we should go back and try the gateway.
East or west?
Ryan looked both ways. The vegetation was stiflingly thick to the east. To the west, it looked a little clearer. Along the edge of the river, there almost seemed to be some sort of cleared pathway.
West.
It was a path. Not very wide, flirting with the water, but it was most definitely a trail. After a few paces, Ryan dropped to his knees among the bushes, peering at the marks in the soft ground.
Animal? No. There's something looks like deer. Cloven hoof, sharp. But there's human feet. Deep tread, working boots. Recent. Let's be careful.
The warning wasn't really necessary. Even young Laurie had been with him long enough to realize that life was lived astride a singing blade. While she had been with him in Alaska, one of the party had mentioned problems to Ryan. She recalled his answer.
Problems? Solving problems isn't our business. We deal in death.
She sensed what that meant. As before, Ryan led the way, gun cocked and ready, his finger on the trigger. Everyone followed in their places, their own blasters ready for instant action. Once Ryan thought he caught the sound of human voices ahead, but Christie's muty hearing didn't register anything, so he figured he was mistaken. They found a vehicle less than a quarter mile along the trodden path. It was beached, like a long, dead, swollen whale, pulled in among the trees, its rear wheels still in the water. At first glance, it looked like a boat on wheels. Its six wheels held it about 8 feet above the mud. It had small metal ladders on each side, and the biggest, fattest tires that any of them had ever seen. Their diameter was at least 6 feet. Ryan poked at the tires, finding them amazingly soft and underinflated. JB clambered up a ladder and peered inside.
Swamp buggy. Deep tread on the tires. Go through or over just everything you can imagine. Land or water, as well as anything that lies in between.
Seats for eight. Couple of cans of gas. Steers with a rudder kick bar. Box of old scattergun shells. Fish hooks. Something looks damned like a ramrod. Figure it can't be. Only blasters from 200 years back use a ramrod. Muzzle loaders.
See anyone?
No.
I can drive it. Let's get the fuck out of here before whoever left it comes back.
There was a simple rule you learned in the Deathlands. If you held it, then it was yours. If someone else held it, then it belonged to them. The swamp buggy was about to belong to Ryan and his comrades.
Good idea. But keep in mind what the trader always said about stealing transport. Get in slow and easy. Watch for traps. Small land wag, one man can watch. Big one like this takes two or three. Don't start it until the last possible moment, because once we've made a noise, then whoever owns this could be onto us, and we're on borrowed time. So once it's running, let's get the fuck out of here.
Finnegan sat in the driver's seat of the buggy. Christie, Doc, and Lori took the other seats, each watching a different section of the land and river around them. Hennings, Ryan, and the armorer moved into the surrounding forest, their eyes and ears ready for the return of the people who owned the vehicle. Once he felt he could master the controls, Finn whistled. The three men fell back, ringing the swamp wag with their backs to it, eyes raking the shifting wall of green all around them.
Which way am I going?
Across the river. That's where the old road went. Must lead to a villa of some kind.
Okay, ready?
Ready, Finn.
The starter was a 3-inch nail, bent and smoothed from use. Finn grasped it, pushing on the gas pedal a couple of times. His left hand nursing the throttle, he twisted the starter. A puff of thick blue smoke spurted from the exhaust, but the engine still wouldn't fire.
Shit!
Again!
The bastard won't...
Come on, Finn. You're gonna bring every citizen for miles.
I hear someone, Ryan. Men running, from the west.
Come on, Nellie Bell! Oh, yeah.
Smoke rushed from the exhaust in a choking pall. Standing on the ladder, rifle at the ready, Ryan gestured for the others to climb aboard.
Go, Finn! Fast as you can! Go across the river and then make for cover.
Blasters they got look like they come from 100 years before the nukes.
The massive wheels began to rotate, throwing a spray of mud and brackish water in the air.
Jackpot! All the tires give power!
Finn kicked at the rudder bar to steer the buggy into the water. Ryan watched behind them, where Christie had warned of men coming fast. There was no sign of them. He suddenly realized that the bottom of the ladder was going to be immersed as the buggy slid fully into